The Lord is with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. May God's hand be on our mind and on our lips and on our hearts, that we would transform the world. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away. She keeps calling after us all." And Jesus replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." And Jesus said in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. Sisters and brothers, the gospel of the risen Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This has been a different week. A lot of interesting and strange and very painful things have happened during this week. We've had acts of terrorism in our own country in Virginia, as well as what happened in Barcelona and Finland and other places. And so we as a nation, as a world, are in a grieving moment of what is going on, what must we do, what is God calling us to do, and how can I relate and respond in conversations with people at work or at home, around the dining room table, in school, or on the street. We're given a kind of a difficult scripture tonight. It's one of those two scriptures that we often feel uncomfortable as Christian people. One is when Jesus is inside and they come and say, "Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside," and Jesus says, "Who is my mother and brother and sister?" Only those who do the word of God. And it almost sounds like Jesus is pushing his mother aside. And this scripture often comes across as if Jesus is responding to this woman in that same derogatory way. But in the context of this gospel, you and I are invited to realize that Jesus dialogued with this person. As a rabbi, as a male, as a Jewish person of Israel, he should not have dialogued with this woman. He went beyond what was normal, which was acceptable, and was present with her and had a dialogue with her. We are invited in the midst of our struggles of today to be in a dialogue, even though the conversation sometimes can get very difficult. Our first dialogue is with ourselves. What is happening inside you and inside me? What happens when they say that these people should die, or these people should kill, or these statues should be removed, or these values of what is constitutional and what is not? In the midst of these questions, you and I are invited as people of faith to ask that question: what is Jesus calling us to do? As a white male priest, I have felt extremely uncomfortable all week as a Christian person, because so often those other voices about hatred and bigotry and judgment have all come from other people of Christian faith. They use the Bible to justify their hatred. It's that same feeling I had when I was in seminary and I realized that Adolf Hitler was a Christian seminarian too, Catholic, and that somehow he, in all of his background, somehow concluded that it was okay, biblically, to kill Catholics, Jews, gypsies, gay people, all of those people he identified as unclean, not part of the white race. That same feeling from years ago came to me, at least, I don't know how you're feeling, during this past week. And how can we as Christian people get to the point, how can individuals and then a group get to a point to say that God blesses such hatred? It is a difficult time for us, but it is also a moment for you and I to respond to. And so the first reading, we are given that wonderful ancient challenge that God calls us to be a prayerful people, to bring us together in that sense of prayer, which is a relationship with God. Where are you, God, in this? Where am I to be in this? How can I, as a person, especially as Christian people, followers of Jesus, the peacemaker, how am I to speak, to think, and to act? The scriptures invite us into a very uncomfortable place, and clearly Jesus and his apostles were uncomfortable. The scripture says that the disciples said, "Jesus, tell her to get away. Tell her to get out of our ways. Don't keep shouting at us. Don't keep asking for mercy." And yet Jesus kept in dialogue with her. He heard her first request. "My daughter is overwhelmed by a demon," however that might be interpreted in our own day and age. It was a mother crying out for her daughter. How many of us, if we have children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces or brothers or sisters, and if they're in need, we will go out to do as much as we can for them. And so we have this woman, this mother, wanting her daughter to be healed, to not be consumed by whatever was possessing her. This week, we can almost feel like there's something possessed about what's happening. There is this language that divides, and words and ammunition and all those images that we've seen in the car that plundered over the person and the many injured people in Virginia, as well as the use of a car in Spain. An instrument that we thought was used to get us from one point to another has now become an instrument of death, an instrument of hate. We're invited to hear the word of God and somehow put it into place in your lives. At St. Camillus, we host Pax Christi, and Pax Christi is a Catholic movement that began after World War II. And Catholics after World War II were in this same dilemma. How could this have happened? How could Adolf Hitler, from his background, become such a leader for death? And the Catholics that gathered at that moment in time in history said, "What did we do wrong, and what can we do now?" And so the Catholic peace movement began with Pax Christi in Europe, saying, "We miss the moment. How can we be a peace people after the tradition of Jesus?" We have that opportunity now, before this all gets even worse, to say, what can you and I do? How can we bring to the table of conversation at work or at home, and our own internal question and dialogue, how do I move away from a message of hate and bigotry, a message that says, "I'm saved and you're not," or "this group is loved by God and this is not"? How can we move to that place in which Christ invites the dialogue that he hung in with a very difficult situation, judged by others, probably even condemned by others, as he continued to have this dialogue with this Canaanite woman? And clearly, as they had that difficult moment, which some people would say is both of them were quoting local stories and tradition, and so it meant something very specific to those folks, but it comes across as harsh. But even in the midst of that dialogue, then Jesus says, "O woman, what great faith do you have?" Jesus wants to say that about us. The world wants to say that about us, Christian. Oh, what great faith you have. Oh, if we would practice our wonderful faith. And then Jesus goes beyond that moment in the dialogue. He says to her, after he says, "Oh, woman of great faith, what you have wished, it will be done unto you." And the scripture, like in so many other healings with Jesus, says that at that moment, the healing of the daughter took place. It didn't happen later. It was instant. Jesus heard her plea. He walked with her, and he granted her wish, her prayer, her desire. As we go along with our Mass today, and as we go about our week, whether you're worried about an eclipse that might come and take over the world or destroy the world, or whether you're going to look for 34 and a half seconds or something like that and see something marvelous that God has created and has been happening for millions of years, in those moments, can we bring to our thoughts and our conversation Jesus? This is not about one group or that group. It really is about a matter of an ideal, a philosophy, an approach that says other people are evil and they need to be removed. And we, as people of faith, from our Holy Father's statements to the bishop's statements to all the religious communities of the world, have said none of this speaks of our faith tradition. So often my Muslim community brothers and sisters, their imams, will say when followers of Islam will use their sacred text to kill, they say, "There's nothing in our text that supports this." And we find ourselves in that same place. There is nothing in our text that support this hatred, these words, and these actions of violence. So may we not disconnect from this, but may we allow our faith, our relationship with Jesus, our journey with the community, may it affect what we think and say and do. May we invite people into a dialogue about, why are you feeling that way? Where does that come from? What can change to include everyone around the table? Clearly, many of these people are hurt for some reason. How do we help engage the conversation to hear their pain, their anger? As the week has progressed, people that thought they were following a leader that opposed this have been withdrawing from that support. And our question is, do we stand in support of Christ Jesus? The scripture is challenging, but it invites us to know that Jesus walked into the challenge and stayed with the conversation, and in the dialogue was the minister, the instrument of healing, of peacemaking for the woman right in front of him, as well as he instructed by example to the disciples that were around him. Jesus does that to us today. He gives us an example. The challenge for us as people of faith, as individuals and as a group, will we stand with the nonviolent Jesus? Amen.